Hey, everybody. This was an episode I prayed I never had to do. In some ways, a little bit of a dark episode, but it's really important. It's one that's going to impact every single person listening to this. Every single person that has decided to be a conservative or a Christian in America will be impacted by this. It's a historical episode. It's a thoughtful episode. It's a kind of intense episode, I'm not going to lie. This is one where I refuse to engage in hyperbole, but it's very real. And again, I didn't want to have to do this episode. I didn't want to have to highlight what was obviously happening, but I felt morally compelled to show you, my audience, the obvious. Email me your thoughts after you listen to this episode, freedom@charliekirk.com. Please support us at charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, for many of you that watch our live stream or our radio show, listen to our radio show, you know I talk about Relief Factor a lot. And look, truth is, I know millions of people are in some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older, that can do it. That's why I'm so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely seen this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their number of total happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. The Talbots are amazing people. Check it out. Relieffactor.com. I was hoping I never had to address this. I was hoping for quite some time that what I feared would not actually materialize. Over the last couple of years, I have seen a trend growing in this country. I've been seeing a pattern of events that I've been watching very carefully, praying, actually praying, that would not materialize into what we are now experiencing. Now, what I'm about to discuss with you here is a very, very serious matter. It's factual. It's historical, and it's one of the few things that we are going to explore on this program where I don't have a great solution. In fact, I have no solution. But this is one of the most important points of commentary that I'm going to give this year and the last couple years. And it's time to put everything that we have seen on the landscape and show how it's a pattern of behavior from the most powerful people in our country. So last week, I saw what you saw, which seemed to be just another example of a power-hungry Department of Justice overstepping its bounds. Rudy Giuliani's apartment was raided. Now, usually raids executed by the Department of Justice are saved for drug or human traffickers, people that are smuggling weapons, people that are involved in the worst possible crimes imaginable. Now, the threshold to get a search warrant is rather extraordinary. You have to be able to prove to a judge not just reasonable doubt that the person may have committed a crime, but no, to get a search warrant, you must prove to a judge that there is an imminent threat that there's either a crime being committed at the scene where the search warrant will be executed or evidence will be destroyed. And so it's even a higher threshold to go after an attorney, a lawyer, let alone the president's attorney and lawyer. Now, Rudy Giuliani has come on this show quite often. Rudy Giuliani sometimes steps over his own words. I consider Rudy to be a good American. I would handle some things a little bit differently. He contradicts himself sometimes on television, but you're always rooting for him because you know that his heart is in the right place. Rudy Giuliani is not El Chapo. Rudy Giuliani is not Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. And Rudy Giuliani is not Eric Rudolph, the Centennial Park bomber. Rudy Giuliani was America's mayor, the man who saved the city of New York and brought New York City from the ashes back to greatness, who led America to a common ethos and a common theme of regrowth and rebuilding and brighter days ahead. Rudy Giuliani obviously had been outspoken in his support of President Trump. This is not a mystery. Rudy Giuliani always seemed to be in the middle of every single major event of the last couple years. The man who brought New York City out of 9/11, the man who brought crime rates down dramatically in New York, also just happened to be the president's lawyer, not just anyone's president's lawyer, but the most hated president by the mainstream press and the activist media, and of the, let's just call it, the new left. The new left that is not playing games anymore, everybody. This is not a left that we can get along with. This is a left that is playing for keeps. They are going for the jugular. The cultural blitzkrieg is on, shock and awe. So Rudy Giuliani was in the middle of almost every major controversy. The first impeachment fight, Rudy Giuliani was front and center. Hunter Biden's laptop, Rudy Giuliani was front and center. He's almost the Forrest Gump of American politics. He just happens to always be where the action is. The voter fraud discussion, he was right in the middle of it, albeit sometimes in a way that didn't always help his cause. But you're rooting for him because you know he loves his country, the history of America. He wants what's best for its people. So what would possibly drive the Department of Justice to execute a search warrant with guns drawn against America's mayor? Why would they do that? Well, it's because they say they had a high threshold of evidence. But for what? Was Rudy Giuliani laundering millions of dollars, allegedly? Was Rudy Giuliani trafficking children across the southern border? Was Rudy Giuliani doing any of those things? No, they have suspicion that on Rudy Giuliani's devices, that Rudy Giuliani was representing a foreign Ukrainian oligarch without filing the proper registration records. That's it. That's the reason that they have to go guns a-blazing into Rudy Giuliani's apartment, where a subpoena very well might have been sufficient. And according to Rudy Giuliani's own telling of events, Rudy Giuliani said that he offered to give them Hunter Biden's devices and laptop, and they refused. The very same office that raided Rudy Giuliani was the office that he ran, that he built, that he oversaw, that he managed, that prosecuted some of the nastiest criminals on the Eastern Seaboard. Rudy ran that office. And now he has to go see people in jackets at 6 a.m. What's really going on here? Let me tell you what I hate. I hate when people overuse analogies and comparisons to the 1930s and 1940s Germany. It is just overused. And those of you that listen to me a lot and listen to our podcast, you know that I am not one to compare everything that's going on to the National Socialist Workers Party gaining power in the 1930s and 40s. What's happening right now is the Night of the Long Knives, otherwise known as Operation Hummingbird. It was a political purge that started from 1934, June 30th of 1934 to July 2nd of 1934, where 150 political dissidents in a short period of time, 3 days, were taken out. Now, this is obviously a smaller example of that. But let me read this list off to you. And I want you to think to yourself, is this justice or is this people using their absolute political power to destroy the opposition? And then we're also going to explore, why is this a pattern? Have you ever heard of the Red Terror before? How did Saddam Hussein treat his political opponents and his political dissidents? Political repression. using the people at your disposal to go after those that you disagree with, that you deem to be a threat, is not just likely. It is inevitable when a small group of power-hungry sociopaths take over your country and your government. Rudy Giuliani being America's mayor, I'm not even going to get into whether or not he did anything right or wrong. That's up to him and his lawyers to figure out. Instead, what I'm getting at here, what's so obvious, is a disturbing fact pattern right in front of us that is showing that the people that control the apparatus of our government, they're not playing around anymore. This is not a coffee shop debate. This is not a Socratic seminar. This is not a back and forth for the pursuit of ideas. This is not a Democrat Party that is willing to negotiate. No, when you study the Night of the Long Knives or Operation Hummingbird, and again, I am not one to just throw around these examples, you realize that people only do this when they think this is one of the final moves on the chessboard. I'm going to read off a list here. I want you to think to yourselves, what do they have in common? Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, the National Rifle Association, Matt Gaetz, Michael Flynn, Wayne LaPierre, Rudy Giuliani, Paul Manafort, Donald Trump Jr., Dinesh D'Souza, Donald Trump, and Michael Cohen. What do all those people have in common? All those people have either been severely investigated to a point of reputational damage or indicted by our criminal justice system in the last 2 years. I want to highlight a couple of them. Dinesh D'Souza is the only one that hasn't been investigated in the last couple of years. I want to focus on Dinesh D'Souza and Steve Bannon. Dinesh D'Souza, many of you remember, started one of the most successful anti-Obama films during the Obama administration. In fact, he even created one against Hillary Clinton. He created a movie called Obama's America. He got personal with politics. Dinesh D'Souza was willing to tell the truth about Barack Obama, that he was not who he said he was, that he was not trying to unify the country, instead rule with an iron fist. Dinesh D'Souza made an illegal campaign contribution for a candidate that was spotted and flagged by the Federal Election Commission. This usually is remedied by a fine and a letter that says don't do it again. But instead, this was referred for criminal prosecution, and Dinesh D'Souza was indicted, and he eventually pled guilty. The full force of the government came after Dinesh D'Souza to try to forever mark him as a felon because he dared tell the truth. He was pardoned by Donald Trump, thankfully. What about Steve Bannon? Steve Bannon left the White House a couple years ago after being a senior advisor to Donald Trump. He then went on to do a series of dramatic and aggressive political moves to challenge the American left. Very outspoken on television. Started an organization called We Build the Wall. And last fall, leading up to the election, Steve Bannon was indicted on multiple counts for breaking federal law in regards to fraudulent fundraising. Now, if you read the indictment, it's a very weak, very questionable fact pattern that they established. And Steve Bannon was pardoned by Donald Trump. What about the National Rifle Association? What's happened with them? Well, they had to declare bankruptcy because Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, decided to use her political power to investigate her political opponents. And the NRA, posting a $40 million deficit for a couple years running, has declared bankruptcy and has severely weakened the strongest civil rights organization in the country and the oldest civil rights organization in the country that fights for our Second Amendment rights and the freedom that protects all of our other rights. You heard me read the list. Wayne LaPierre, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, Michael Flynn, the NRA, Matt Gaetz, Rudy Giuliani, Dinesh D'Souza. The people in power are not playing around anymore. This is a pattern that those of us that study totalitarianism like I do, and I really get in the weeds of it, As soon as I saw Rudy's apartment raided, I said, that's it. I have to comment on this. And I prayed I never had to. I prayed that the rank and file, the Justice Department, and the people that were running the top levels of our government would not use it for political purposes. And let me be very clear, the people that are part of our rank and file FBI, I think they do a very good job going after drug smugglers and child sex traffickers, but there's someone calling the shots that we don't know that is deploying these people. Someone in the suits and not in the boots that is making something seem alarmingly similar, mirroring almost identically this power, this pattern of the abuse of power. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. Mother's Day is fast approaching. What are you getting, Mom? What about the gift of memories? Do you or your parents have boxes or bins of old home movies or photos in storage? Legacy Box helped bring new life to your old media by unlocking those trapped family memories and putting them on a modern digital format that's easy to use. Legacy Box is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. The process from start to finish is so easy. Get back perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud, ready to watch, share, and enjoy. Plus, they keep you up to date with regular email updates throughout the digitizing process. Win the favorite kid award this Mother's Day and give mom a present she'll never forget. For a limited time, Legacy Box is running 50% off Mother's Day special. Order your Legacy Box today to take advantage of this incredible offer. This is one of the best discounts they've ever offered. Go to legacybox.com/Kirk. Save 50% while supplies last. That's legacybox.com/Kirk. We're talking about here is no joke. We're talking about the most aggressive push using the justice system to go after strictly political opponents. The fact pattern is inarguable now. It's unmistakable. Michael Cohen was their first test case of how they could find someone and try to make him flip. And boy, did they make him squeal and flip. They got Paul Manafort, who has been pardoned. They got Roger Stone, who was also pardoned. They got Michael Flynn, where they literally went into the White House and entrapped him. And Peter Strzok and the rank and file of the FBI, I should say the senior leadership of the FBI, not the rank and file, they still have not been held accountable. And Peter Strzok right now is teaching a college course at Georgetown University. Now, many of you, as you hear me go through this and you hear me talk about this, you're wondering, where is the action against Hunter Biden, against Hillary Clinton, against Bill Clinton for writing Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein? And the sooner you realize that this game is rigged in the Justice Department, the better. And I hate to be that cynical about it. Let's look historically on how this happens. Operation Hummingbird. The SA, otherwise known as the Brown Shirts, acted as the paramilitary wing of the Nazi Party. Under the charismatic leader Ernst Röhm, they beat up and intimidated potential opponents. I wonder if there was any precedent of people beating one another up or intimidating political opponents in our country. Between the 30th of June and the 2nd of July, Röhm and dozens of others of SA leaders were shot dead. Now you might say, well, Charlie, that's not happening here. You're right. Instead, working within the confines and the systems of a short period of time to basically take them off the chessboard, to take them out of decent dialogue in society and make them bankrupt and unable to defend themselves. The incident became known as the Night of the Long Knives. Although the SA continued to exist, the purge had hobbled it. How about the Red Terror? This was a longer period of time and probably even more applicable to what we're living through. Stalin used the killing of his right-hand man, Sergei Kirov, as a pretext for launching a ferocious purge of the leadership. Many historians believe Stalin had ordered Kirov's assassination to give him the excuse he needed. Dozens of party leaders were subsequently exiled or killed, often as what's known as show trials. So they were still given show trials, where they were accused of being in league with Leon Trotsky, otherwise known as Trotskyites, very famous in the West. He was murdered in Mexico, probably on Stalin's orders. Relatives, friends, and even possible sympathizers of anyone labeled a traitor were brutally dispatched. How about Saddam Hussein in 1979? When Saddam Hussein came to power, he carried out a very public purge of more than 60 members of the ruling Ba'ath Party, the organization that had once put him into power. There's a famous footage of Saddam Hussein, black and white footage of him watching the purge, the execution of these 60 people, because they were tried for treason. After Mao Zedong's death in 1976, a bitter struggle for power broke out at the top of the Communist Party. By 1978, Mao's chosen successor, Hua Zhongfeng, had been usurped by Zheng Jiping, a reformer who had been frozen out by Mao. In 1980, some of Mao's most extreme allies were put on trial. It was a political show trial accompanied by a massive propaganda campaign. Sound familiar? Denouncing the so-called Gang of Four. It was designed to cement the new power under Deng, and all four were found guilty and eventually sentenced to life in prison. How about in Burma or Myanmar? Until 2010, one man dominated the politics of Burma. Thanh Shui, a self-styled senior general who reigned imperiously for more than two decades. For a brief time, the younger, more charismatic general, Khin Nuet, threatened to upset the power balance. Thanh Shui acted quickly, deposing him and putting him on trial for corruption and bribery. So make no mistake, not every one of these patterns of the Knight of Long Knives operates in the same way. He was jailed in 2005 for 44 years and was only freed recently from prison. I'm reading from a BBC article, Five Infamous Purges. You are living through a political purge. Not only on social media, not only culturally, not only book burning, and not only cancel culture. I'm talking about something much more serious. I'm talking about the people that control who gets to live in this society and who lives behind bars. Now, some of you are saying, well, Charlie, this is just a gang of criminals. Michael Cohen, Steve Bannon, Roger Stone. You show me the man, I'll show you the crime. As Cicero famously said, the more laws, the less justice. When you have a criminal code as complex, deep, and detailed as we have, and a federal enforcement bureaucracy as heavily staffed and financed as we have, almost anyone can go to jail for anything they might have done open to interpretation, especially with people that have been entrepreneurs, have been in politics, have received payments and traveled the world like Rudy Giuliani did, they will find something on those devices. You see, they must make examples out of people. They can't allow certain behavior to go unchecked. That is why back in fall, we did an entire episode where I warned that if Donald Trump lost, he will likely get indicted in New York. Now, I'm not saying that he did anything worthy of that indictment. That's a completely different thing. Because, of course, we know that there's a doubled standard of justice. We know that when the left does anything wrong, they get a little slap on the wrist or nothing at all. But when conservatives or people who love their country get found doing anything they don't like, they will find the crime. And Matt Gaetz is going through this right now. I don't know if Matt Gaetz did what he was accused of or not. I don't know. I do know that he has the full force of the federal government against him. I also know that the cartels are recruiting American teenagers to be part of their sex, gun, and drug trafficking across the southern border. Is the federal government going after that with the full force? I don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. It says right here on Fox News, cartels using social media to recruit U.S. teens. That would probably warrant some force from the federal government, some intervention. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani has come out to speak, and he said the FBI tapped his iCloud to go find his messages with Donald Trump during impeachment. That's right. Apple has granted the Federal Bureau of Investigation access to Rudy Giuliani's phone and iCloud, according to Rudy and his lawyer, Robert Costello. Any one of your devices, if you back up your iCloud ever, is now open for examination and surveillance by our government. Now some of you might say, oh, I got nothing to hide. Don't be that naive. This is a very serious matter. And all of the warnings, all of the communists that have fled here from Eastern Europe, from Cuba, from Venezuela, that have been trying to tell us what is coming here, I'm afraid to say it's happening now. And so Rudy is now going to be under the full examination of the federal government. So let me tell you how this is going to work. This is a chess game. The same reason why they want to abolish the police department, as St. Louis just abolished its police department, to try to create a national police force. The reason they're going after Rudy is to get after Trump. They must make a public example out of him. He's too big of a threat, has too big of a following. They must make him a non-factor, and they want to put to bed not just Donald Trump, but his ideas. Restricting immigration, reforming our trade policy, and ending our foreign adventurism overseas, those three ideas must be put on a public show trial. But they also wanted the shock and awe campaign. They didn't want just the subpoena to Rudy Giuliani. See, that doesn't get headlines. No, they wanted to show the rest of the country that they are willing to get a warrant. They are willing to go in front of a judge and bust down your door. A couple in Alaska had just had their door busted down as the FBI was looking for Nancy Pelosi's laptop. So in Biden's America, Rudy Giuliani gets raided and Hunter Biden gets to become a college professor at Tulane. And so as I'm identifying this, this has been something that I've been praying on and I've been reflecting and I've been reading so much history, and I didn't want to have to do this episode because I prayed it wasn't true. Why'd they go after the NRA? Obviously, because it was super effective and they wanted massive gun control and control. Roger Stone, they needed to take him out. Michael Flynn, they needed an early win and they got one. It's more than the partisan nature of the Justice Department. It's more than that. This is something that, regardless of your political affiliation, you should see very clearly what's happening here. Intimidation. Arrests. And I don't really even know how to deal with this. All we can do is talk about it, because the more we talk about it, we can pray that we are going to expose this and make it less likely to continue. But the playbook of political repression that was perfected in Fidel's Cuba, or Pol Pot's Cambodia, or Mao's China, is now being implemented at the highest levels of power in our country, being signed off upon by the current Attorney General, and no one is safe. And I want to show where this leads inevitably, because you might think you're immune to it and you just want to raise your kids. There's something deeper happening here, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you. A gas station sells regular unleaded for $4 a gallon. The gas stations next door sell the exact same unleaded gas for $2 a gallon. So which are you going to buy? The $2 gas, right? It's a no-brainer. So why are you still paying overinflated rates for wireless with Verizon, T-Mobile, or AT&T when you could be getting the exact same coverage as one of those big carriers with PureTalk? Except get this, it costs you less than half. The average family is saving over $800 a year. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just over $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. Switching is so easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or choose from the latest iPhones or Androids. Make the smart choice and switch to PureTalk. Just dial #250, that's #250, say the keyword Charlie Kirk to save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Charlie Kirk. Peer Talk is simply smarter wireless. Andrew from California says, well, Charlie, I've been reading about Operation Hummingbird, and they literally rounded up a bunch of people and shot them. You can't be serious when you say that. Look, I'm obviously giving an example of what is happening, but they are reputationally going after people. They are rounding up the dissidents and intimidating them. So I stand by the comparison of it being Operation Hummingbird. It is the essence of the same thing. Using political power and the justice system and the force that you have to go after people that you deem to be a threat to your power. So some of you might think that it is never coming to you. Every American should be familiar with a term called a kulak. A kulak was a Russian with over 8 acres of land. Kulaks were the people that were the upper middle class farmers. They were the people that believed in delayed gratification. They did everything right. And Joseph Stalin decided them to be class enemies of the poorer peasants. And basically, a kulak was a peasant in Russia wealthy enough to own a farm and hire labor. Because of certain market forces, they were able to succeed a little bit more. But then a campaign of de-kulakization, government officials empowered the everyday man to seize farms and kill some resistors, and deported kulaks to labor camps, and drove many to migrate to the cities following the loss of their property to the collective. So what does that have to do with the Red Terror and the Night of the Long Knives and Operation Hummingbird, and what happened in China and in Burma? Is that they are going to empower local tyrants next. It might be Rudy Giuliani now. It might be in an apartment of New York that you've never seen before, and the president's lawyer. But what if that same force of government is going to kick down your door because of how you voted, or a school board testimony that you gave, or a political donation that you sent in, or maybe you just got on the wrong side of a business deal? You see, if the history of totalitarianism teaches anything, is that there are no restraints. There's no stopping. Is that this continues to grow and manifest in different ways. So as Wayne LaPierre right now is under investigation criminally by the Internal Revenue Service, Dinesh D'Souza already got his sentence for making a movie they didn't like or giving a contribution against legal limits that they deem to be of a criminal nature. Matt Gaetz is under the most intense federal investigation one can be under. You got to ask yourselves the question, will I be next? Until the American people speak very clearly and loudly against what is so obviously happening right now, which is a purge of political opponents and dissidents in a form of show trials of stacked juries to try to keep people in permanent political power. This is something that we have more than enough evidence and precedent in. For all you Game of Thrones fans out there, this is the Red Wedding episode. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then just excuse what I just said. But if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So what do we do about that? All we can do, this is one of the few things that we're ever going to talk about together here, that I don't have a good solution except speech. The only solution I have is that we have to expose this, show the pattern, and ask questions and beg that our senators and congresspeople will get answers from law enforcement on how they are actually choosing these cases. Who's signing off on these? Are they investigating people on both political sides the same? Is Hunter Biden getting the same scrutiny as Rudy Giuliani? Is the ACLU getting the same scrutiny as the National Rifle Association? These are questions that deserve answers. But their true prize, of course, is Trump. They want to go after him, and they want to go after his family, they want to go after his assets, because he did something you're not supposed to do. He represented the people, and he kept his promises, and he actually showed that anyone can become president. This is a very serious deal. I wish I had a better chapter of news to share, but it might be one of the most important things that I've highlighted. And I pray I'm wrong. I pray that it's not the Night of the Long Knives or Operation Hummingbird or the Red Terror, but you see the same pattern that I see. Don Jr., Wayne LaPierre, Steve Bannon, Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, Roger Stone, the NRA, Matt Gaetz, Rudy Giuliani, and Dinesh D'Souza. People that have been persecuted, targeted, investigated, or indicted for their political beliefs. It's time to get loud, everybody, or else you're next. Email us your thoughts, everybody, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Thanks so much.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.